Welcome today to our interview series with Outstanding Professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Hulin Zhao, 2015 Secretary General of the International Telecommunications Union, or ITU. Secretary General Zhao is the world's leading ICT executive authority. Hulin, thank you for sharing your extensive and considerable history of success and contributions with our audience.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. It's a great pleasure for me to join you to discuss some issues of common interest.
Hulin, you just have an amazing history, and I can see why you are now the Secretary General. So congratulations. What are your specific goals for the ITU in 2015 and for the next several years?
Yeah, as you know, that the ITU already set up its strategic plan for next 4 years. So my main task is to implement those strategic plan of ITU for next 4 years. Of course, you know, ITU as a specialized UN agency responsible for ICT and telecom, our commitment is to connect the people and connect the world. And we still have a lot of challenges in front of us. We will have to work hard.
Well, it sounds like a great opportunity, especially with you in the leadership role. And especially for enterprises worldwide. I should mention that a large part of my audience, something like over 300 million through the different media outlets, is actually through business, and it's business is a big part of the audience. So, and what ways can the ITU benefit business enterprises?
Yeah, it's quite important. You know that the ITU has 150th years of history, and over the last 150 years, ITU has always worked together with our business family, with industries. And from the very beginning, when ITU was created, we already had our ICT, telecom industry with us. And we are very pleased with cooperation with them, because it's our business family who offered telecom ICT services to serve our planet, to serve our humanity. And I think that we enjoy very much today this modern ICT and telecom services, but nothing can happen if we do not have business family, business members who provide us these kind of services. So that it's clear to me that ITU, to carry on its mandate, we have to make close cooperation with our business partners.
You know, you bring up this idea of a business partner. So let's say a CEO in the audience wants to get involved and they're a global fortune company. How do they get in tune or aligned with the ITU?
Oh, ITU, you know, that we take world standardization as our first priority when we created. We were created in 1865. We established the first international telegraph standard to allow telegraph messages transferred from one country to another without, you know, those boundary problems. And since then, you know, telegraph, telephone, and telex, and data communications today, you know, that the mobile internet, all this, you know, developed with the latest technologies. And the technologies are mainly pushed by our experts. And those technologies need global standards. So ITU has put standardization one of its main tasks. And we have done over the last 150 years continuously with international standards. I could safely say that without ITU's contribution of international standards, we may not have the same telecom service today. On the other hand, we also know that with standards, in the market, we also need a very good environment of our market. So ITU also takes this as our new tasks to facilitate market development with fair competitions, with you know, favorable you know, environment to invest, to encourage the investment. ITU is working on this already with some success. And also, you know, that today, new technology can be really effective, efficient, without, you know, proper spectrum coordination. And ITU has worked on these spectrum issues, frequency matters, for more than 100 years long. And we are very, very proud that, you know, ITU is still considered as the only competent place to take care of this world spectrum coordination issues. So I think that the industry needs ITU, and ITU also rely on the industry's implementation of new technologies. And, you know, that we all benefit from our cooperation.
You know, there's a lot of these very large enterprises worldwide, but there's also small and medium-sized enterprises and startups. How can the ITU benefit these in ways that is different for the programs they have for large enterprises?
I think that you really pick up the most favorite topic I like to talk. Over last period of 12 months, during so-called my campaign period, I discussed with many countries, with many teaching makers and experts of ICT technology and services. I found that today, with internet and mobile technologies everywhere, those traditional sources of innovation from big companies, because in the past we need a lot of investment for new ideas, for new projects. But today, with the internet, with mobile communication everywhere, such kind of situation has been, you know, substantially changed, that those new ideas may not necessarily come from the big guys only. Those new ideas may come from those areas we never heard about or we never think about. And that is one thing. Another thing is I also found that in the developing countries, there are many, many small, medium-sized companies. And these companies have very good knowledge about the latest technology, particularly ICT technology. And they have also good understanding of their own market. And they have high enthusiasm to make their own contribution to their own market with their own solutions, with their own, you know, project to be you know, applied to their own market. So I found that it's a great potential to work with small, medium-sized companies. And also I found that in many countries, particularly in different countries, we have high-tech park, we have, you know, that innovation center, we have incubators, and the government pay attention to try to facilitate the local entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs, and small entrepreneurs to start up with the new ideas, the new business. And I think that the potential is clear to me that it's a very, very big benefit to try to work with them and to help them to even to find a way to strengthen their you know, power so that they can really grow up very quickly and become stronger. And I firmly believe that with their development, I mean the SMEs, local entrepreneurs, with their, you know, economic development, with their new power, electronic power or economic power, I mean, economic power, and with their new ideas, and the country, the region will really benefit from their, you know, contributions. So I think that the potential is there, and but also I found that there's some areas we can contribute to help. For example, you know, I noted many members of High Tech Park and many new entrepreneurs. I talked to many of them. They did not have a very clear idea what the other side, what the rest of the world have thought about those ideas and whether they have similar projects, you know, neighbor countries or another areas. In short, if we offer them opportunity to have a bigger chance to network among their partners, among, you know, different countries and even among different regions, I think that they may become much stronger, much quicker than with what we could think about. So I would like to see if ITU could, you know, work with our members to create a new environment to facilitate their interactions among themselves, facilitated them to get the access to the rest of the world, and also to show their potentials to the big companies for potential partnership with the big guys. But I think that even partnership among themselves will be also very good for them. So I would like to do something during my term maybe from next year, and we are trying to invite our members, decision makers, to help me, to help ITU, to create such an environment, to help SMEs, to help the local entrepreneurs.
Well, that's really encouraging, especially since entrepreneurs and small and medium-sized enterprises are so important to the world economy and to the economy of so
many
countries.
Very, very important. Very, very important. Yeah. It's very important for the world economy development. But, of course, from a first stand, it's very important for their national or regional economy development.
Well, it's amazing work that you're doing. Now, this is sort of a broader question. What do you see as some ICT opportunities for government, industry, and academia? And this is from your position as head of this amazing UN agency, specialized agency. What do you see as some opportunities for government, industry, and academia?
Yeah, ITU is a specialized agency of the United Nations. So we have a government as our members. Of course, we see a very important role of government have to facilitate the ICT and technology development. I don't think that anything can be really successful if government will not support that kind of development. And we also need a government to give us guarantee or support for very good, proper environment of market, so that we can invite industries, can invite investors to come to invest to ICT business. So government rules, I think that in any case, are quite important. And of course, here, government rule, including the policy-making rules and also the regulation rules and, facilitator rules. So all this, I think that it's obvious. And of course, ITU has also long tradition to work with industry members. And the industry members is also our members as well. We, in addition to 193 member states as our government members, we also have more than 700 industry members as our sector members. They are very active in ITU in all activities, including the standardization maker activities, in spectrum coordination activities, market facilitating activities, capacity building activities. Almost they are everywhere. And we are very pleased with the cooperation with them. And academy is a new area we started to work with. In my opinion, actually, I myself promoted this idea when I was director of Standardization Bureau during 1999 and 2006. Whenever I visit in the world, I always try to find the opportunity to visit local universities and had a discussion with the university researchers or professors. I found that they have a lot of advanced technology projects in their laboratories or in their, research areas. And some of them are very much close to our, standardization, making process project here in ITU. So it will be useful to bring them close to us, to bring this academic, family close to our business family. So I lobbied to have the academy and research institute as our members. And I was very pleased to see that in 2010, ITU Plain Potential Conference established a resolution to open door to invite academy and university as our members. And up to now, we have around 80 universities, research institute from all the continent. They joined us, in the last 4 years. But in my opinion, this is still not enough for us, because if you look at today's environment, you find everywhere in the world you have ICT universities, or you have universities with very much strong teaching courses or researching courses of ICT projects. So if we can invite them to join us and provide us with their innovative ideas, provide us with their research power, contribute to our decision-making process of standards, I think that there will be a lot of benefit. And ITU's government members, ITU's industry members also welcome this opportunity to have a good cooperation with academy members. And I will try my best to to promote the academy and the research membership from next year.
Well, it's clear, Hulun, that you're creating an environment where the ITU is a hub of an amazing ecosystem involving all the major stakeholders in the world, so that's very encouraging. This next question is a little bit broader still, in that it's going to discuss a prior interview, this idea of professionalism, and then your point of view on it. So in this question, in a prior interview, you talked about challenges, but didn't identify professionalism as one of them. And then let's take a working definition of professionalism as being the attitudes, behaviors, competence, and ethics of ICT practitioners that ensures trustworthiness and the protection of their clients. So the question is, with regards to professionalism, why not identify professionalism as a key challenge? And the second is, how might IT promote within its activities professionalism as a practice of ICT?
Yeah. We also have this kind of, tasks, that capacity building is one of our major tasks. And also, to look at the ICT and technology service and technology development. We are not primary phase of development. We already reached the mature of our technologies and almost also reached the mature status of our market. And here, we really need our experts, engineers, decision makers. To show their maximum proficiency and professional skills. So it's quite important for us. So we are looking at this issue and we try to work with our members to increase those skills and proficiency.
Now, recently I was talking to Leon Strauss, and he's the president of this International Federation of Information Processing, which is a UNESCO-founded federation. With one member per country. And anyways, he indicated you were the keynote for the IFIP WITFOR 2009, and that is the World IT Forum in Vietnam, and just did an amazing job there. So how do you plan to further work with organizations like IFIP, that is this International Federation of Information Processing?
Yeah, I think that you raised a very good point. Of course, as UN Specialized Agency of 150 years history. We have a lot of partners. We have developed a lot of good cooperation with many, many partners related to ICT technology and services. But it's still not enough. As one of the points, organizations just pointed out, and also in the world, many countries, they have association of engineers, the association of teachers, association of professors, researchers, and this kind of associations, I think that is one of the potential area we have to look for opportunity to cooperate with, because they have very high expertise and they have a lot of experiences and they have a lot of strategic views for the future of our ICT technology development and service development. So if we can, have a close cooperation with them, I think that ITU will be very, very beneficial with their wisdom and with their, their professional skills and professional strategic views. These kind of things will be very important for us. I will take your advice and to try to do something to develop further cooperation with this kind of area professionals. But on the other hand, I think that, we may have new areas. I think that ITU is quite open. That is one of the reasons why ITU is still relevant. We are open to the new ideas. We are open to new partners. And if you find anything you think that is relevant to ICT family, and you think that it will be good for ITU to try to expand its cooperation, partnership, please don't hesitate to let us know. And then we try our best to reach them.
That's fascinating. I just like the inclusive atmosphere, and I saw that because I was also at the UN-supported Global E-Government Forum on Astana, where you were speaking, and I thought your sort of this process or this projection of inclusiveness is very encouraging.
Were you there at Astana?
Yes, I was. I was there.
Oh, you were there.
Yeah.
I was there just under the invitation of Kazakhstan government. And to be honest with you, I was really surprised to see many participants from almost 80 countries. I was surprised. But anyhow, I think that that forum was quite a successful forum, invited by Kazakhstan. And, you know, such kind of things, I think that would help the local authority and local market to you know, promote their national plan, and to promote their market plan, and that would help them to have a better development in the future. And I think that as international organizations, we are very pleased to join them at this kind of initiative, and we will see what we can do to help them in the future.
Well, this is a related question in terms of IFIP, which I asked earlier. I also sit on the practitioner board of this organization called the ACM, the Association for Computing Machinery. They actually are the world's largest computing science research innovation professional group, and I chair their professional development group, which is a part of the practitioner board. So can you think of any benefits that the ITU can offer to ACM and its members specifically?
Yeah, why not? Why not? We could look for opportunities to you know, to cooperate with them, and if they are interested, and if we find opportunities, why not we extend our membership to them? Yes, for such kind of computing center or association, I think that there must be a lot of new ideas, innovations, and I think that they will also be useful for us to, you know, to try to cooperate with them and to make benefit of corporations to both sides.
Well, that's encouraging because the ACM reach is about 3.4 million and they have 1.5 million users of their digital library. And they themselves hold something like over 500 events and conferences, 78 publications.
Yeah, for the library, I think that we have not really reached the status we are satisfied with current corporations with the library. And library offers a great opportunity to understand what happened in the past, what will happen in the future, and what, you know, a lot of very useful information still has there to be studied, to be discovered. So this kind of cooperation, I think that you know, it's one of our target. You know that at our wishes, 2005 in here in Tunisia in 2005, we made a target to connect our libraries with ICT tools. And this seems to be not that kind of highly on the agenda of many local authorities. But for us, I think that, for me at least, I see we still have some challenges to reach this goal. And I'd like to see if we can further work on this issue, you know, to make the libraries be beneficial to our global family. Let me just give you one small example. You know, when I was in Bhutan, Himalaya mountain countries, I visited the primary school, which was a school for their king, primary school. And then I was surprised that they start to use a laptop. But unfortunately, the school, that school was a school for the king of Bhutan. When he was young, he was a child. But still today, that is not connected. Today, that means that moment when I visited already 3 years, was not connected to the network. And what did they try to do? They try to establish their own library. They scan their books and store their books, but still isolated in their own school. So this is something, you know, I think that we might have to look at to see if we can you know, do something to help to connect libraries and libraries all levels. You know, I consider this library of this primary school is a library, right? We have to help them to do something as well.
Again, that's a great sort of added insight and story. Now we're down to our last question. Do you have some added notable story, maybe something amazing, interesting, or amusing you wish to share, or some closing thoughts that you wish to share?
Yeah, I'm a normal people. I'm not that kind of fancy people. So if you want to hear some good stories, it may take some time for me to think about that thing to offer you. But anyhow, for me, I'm really excited with the challenge for my job starting from 1st of January next year. Because today, perhaps you will not suffer from that one. I definitely have not suffered from that one. But in the world, those areas I visit, still, quite a number of areas are not covered by mobile phone signals, and some countries still have their telephone penetration less than 30% today. You may not consider that exist, but it's true. And in some areas, communication is still very, very difficult. And I visit some villages in Africa continent, that the villages within 40 kilometers, walking distance, they can, more than 30 villages can share one communication center where, their children can come to see so-called internet, come to see the laptop. So there are still, big challenges to us. And, of course, that new technologies come very rapidly. We are talking about 3G, 4G market, shares, and now 5G is not far away. But still, you see a problem that when Malaysia Airlines disappeared, we still cannot find it today. So there's a lot of disparities of this kind of situation, and I think that it is really important for us to work together, try to improve the current situation. There's one example I'd like to also highlight. I was in Guatemala 2012 when they had an earthquake, 7.4 happened. I think that is the 7th of November 2012. And there I was in a university to try to understand their teaching courses and the projects. One of their projects is to have so-called advanced monitoring system to monitor the flood in their villages. So what they did, the university teachers have some kind of networking capabilities, and they try to deploy their computers to some villages. But still, the base parameters is collected by the villagers to use their mobile phones to call the local centers to tell them where we are. What about the river level now and at which moment? So this kind of monitoring system is something that apparently it's not advanced, but that is something still can help. So that give me some kind of good cases to convince our members to work hard to improve our situation, to offer better ICT and telecom to our people to improve their life.
Well, Hulan, that's a great story that you shared, and it's about engagement and possibilities. And I'm really looking forward to seeing your leadership of the ITU and to meeting you at the WISIS in Geneva in 2015, where I'll be there as well. So,
excellent. Please come to see me, and we have another opportunity to talk. And if you have any chance to to drop in to see me in Europe, in Geneva, or at other places, please don't hesitate to come to identify yourself to me so that we can have another opportunity to talk.
Well, again, congratulations on your leadership position. I know your schedule is demanding, so thank you for sharing so much of your wisdom and deep experiences with our audience.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time and for your interest to this interview. Thank you.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Hu Linzhao, 2015 Secretary General of the International Telecommunications Union. Secretary General Zhao is a world-leading ICT executive authority.